glad that when we came through the doors and I was met with warmth, and I can just tell that this is a church of peace. This is a church here of healing. Amen. This is a praying church. Amen. And take it from me. I've been to just a few churches. I don't know that much, but I've been to just a few churches, and it's not as common as you might think to find a church that has a prayer time before service. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be in this house. Amen. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord where God moves and God has its way. I'm thankful for that. You may be seated here. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. So yes, we are missionaries to France. If it hasn't been mentioned already, I think it has, but I'm Riley, and that's my wife Hallie and Henry. I'm going to have them come up here in just a moment and say hello. But tell you what, I wonder if we could go ahead and play that first video that I gave to Brother Dan earlier. It's going to tell you a little bit about us. Amen. How many of you are thankful for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you believe with me that the gospel will go to the country of France, somebody say amen. 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 We're relying on that. We're relying on the prayers for that. Amen. When you have time and when you think about us, I hope that you will pray for us. This is my beautiful wife, Hallie. And this is our 16-month-old Henry. He always is waiting to have something to say. Yep, that was the whole thing. All right. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to my wife, and she's going to tell you a little bit about France.
Hi, everybody. Praise the Lord. We are so glad to be here in Ohio, I think is where we are. It is it is all starting to blend together, but we like Ohio. We, like the video said, we have done about 3 years of short-term mission work, and the last 2 years were in Luxembourg. We went to Luxembourg with one contact, and we were the only ones there. We were aimers. We had no idea what we were doing, and we just hit the ground running. We did a lot of prayer walking, and the church there, God blessed it. The church, it started with just us three, and by the time we left, there was about 10. We left it to a brother, Francisco, and he has taken it and run with it. He is Spanish-speaking, so he's been able to reach a different part of the community there that we were able to reach. And do we have the other video? No. Well, now they average about 30 people on Sunday, so God's doing a great work in Luxembourg. And with that, we lived in France while we were working in Luxembourg. It's a very small country right across the border. So we've done a lot of praying, a lot of seeking the face of God, and we feel that he has directed our vision to the country of France. If you don't know, France is a country about the same size as Texas. I compare it to Texas because we're from Texas, but it has twice the population of Texas and only about 20 UPC churches. For comparison's sake, Texas has over 700. So there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of unreached people in France, and we're ready to go back and see what we can do, what God will do through us, and we're just excited to get back, and that's why we're here. We're here fundraising. We're here trying to get partners, and when I say partners, we mean partners in prayer first and foremost, and I mean that with my whole heart. We could not have done the work that we did for the 3 years that we were in Europe already without the support and prayer of churches back home that are healthy and thinking about us and praying for us, and we want that in this church here in Ohio. I don't know what town we're in. I'm so sorry. but we hope to build a relationship with you all. I will recognize your faces if I see you again. And please, if I see you at conferences or something, genuinely, I want you to come say hi to me and ask how we're doing and ask how France is doing. And pray for us. We need it. And we also need financial support. I'm sure my husband will talk a little bit about that too. But really, I want your prayers. And France needs your prayers too. And we are excited to see what happens. And I'm going to stop now.
Jefferson. Jefferson is where we are. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful for my wife. God could not have placed a better partner in my life. For this job, you have to be a little crazy and maybe a tiny bit weird in order to do this. And I'm thankful that we are both able to share in our own weirdness every now and then. Sometimes we just weird out, man. But it's a beautiful thing when you can meet somebody that has the same mindset as you for the kingdom of God, and I'm very thankful for that today. Amen. I would like to go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 9. I don't want to take too long and take too much of your time here tonight. I want to respect you guys. I'm thankful, very thankful for the time and the space that the Arderis have allowed for me to come and share the burden. And I'm thankful to you all as well, church. Thank you so much for listening to me. Amen. For listening to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Amen. Amen. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Amen. Would you pray with me tonight before you're seated? Dear Lord, we come before you and we ask that you would minister in this house. Jesus, I pray that your glory would rest upon us, that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds, Lord. I'm asking, dear God, that your glory would minister to us, dear Jesus, that callings, oh Lord, would be affirmed tonight, dear Jesus. I pray right now that people would be encouraged, oh Lord, that our hearts would be lifted up, oh God, and that we'd be willing to come before you, oh Lord, boldly but humbly, dear Jesus, as you minister to us. I pray, dear God, that you would use me, dear Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. The church said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may all be seated. Hallelujah. I was writing this just this morning, and so, typically, maybe I'd go a different route. Maybe things would be a little bit more different for these services, but I felt the need to bring this to you all tonight. And just as I was doing some schoolwork, and grace came to mind, the grace of God, just I couldn't get away from it, as it is with the grace of God sometimes. You just can't get away from it, amen. The grace of God is constantly chasing after you and I, and it's perhaps one of the most beautiful parts about the Lord is that he's constantly chasing after us with his grace and with his mercy. And that's what brings us to conviction, amen? That's what should bring us to conviction. But I began to think in addition, alongside that, in contrast of a story, something that had happened to my wife and I while we were in the country of Belgium for a short time. We went to a refugee center, and we went there to minister to a couple who were from Colombia, I believe it was, and they had escaped their country due to drug wars, and there was a lot going on at the time, and so they contacted us on Facebook, and we said, we'll go, and we'll minister with you, we'll pray with you, we'll bring you some things that you might need. And I think it was as we were leaving, there was a man who was at the near the entrance of that refugee center, and he came up to us and he asked us who we were. You know, who are you? What's your name? And we gave him our names and we said we're missionaries. And almost as soon as we said we're missionaries, he scoffed, and you know, we thought, okay, all right. And he said, well, let me ask you this. If God is so great, and if God is so powerful, if God is all-loving, you know, I kind of knew where this was going. And then he said, why is there so much bad happening in the world? And, well, of course, as dumb as I was, I thought I knew the answer, and I came prepared for that. You know, I'd watched some YouTube videos, and I was like, man, we're about to get into this discussion right now and right here. And I said, well, we all have free will. And no sooner than I could get it out of my mouth, he said, where was my free will when my family was arrested and removed from our homes, and war was in our streets? Where was my free will when I was taken out of my house, the house that I grew up in, and I was beaten, and and things that I owned were taken out and burned before me? Where was my free will then? And I was dumbfounded. I did not have an answer for that. I didn't have an answer for that man at that time. And I probably gave him some canned answer, and I left him with unanswered questions hanging in the air. And later I realized it was an unfinished opportunity to extend grace, and that conversation has haunted me just about nearly every week. It's haunted me ever since that day, and I would think about it, I would mull over it, and then you know, I would have to, you know, do something, and you know, the world has ways of tugging at us, and it would leave my mind for a time, and then I would come back to it again and mull over it some more and think about it some more. But today, at least, I feel like I've unwrapped a layer of what had occurred there, and where the grace of God meets us in that place, in that moment, in that question. That question is rarely ever asked from just somebody wanting to know the answer. That question, the question of if God is so great and God is so loving, why is there so much evil in the world? It's rarely asked just to find out the answer, just for the sake of argument, but rather most of the time it comes from a place of pain. Amen. So today I want us to explore, or take a look at the thought that I had kind of put together here and prayed over a bit, and what it means to not just be recipients of God's grace, but it's that we're living extensions of the grace of God. Amen. We're not just here sitting on the pew. When I go to work, I'm not just going to work as a Christian receiving the grace of God. And we are, amen. But we are tasked with being agents of the grace of God, agents of transformation, of grace. Amen. especially when we meet people whose pain makes them push God away. We've all, I mean, most of us probably have been in that same spot. And so in my study and in my time in prayer, I began to think about grace embodied in Christ. I began to think about grace and how we've received it, how we received it in one of the most incredible ways of all time. In the New Testament, we received grace through Christ. The ultimate response to suffering is grace through Christ. Jesus is the fullest embodiment that we can turn to of grace. Jesus came I don't want to say the end of the story, but maybe towards the end of the canon of Scripture, at least that we have. We go through thousands of years of God's grace and God's miracles and God's power and God's wrath as well, but God's provision. But then when we get to the New Testament, we find Jesus Christ embodied in grace, covered in flesh, yes, but embodied grace. Amen. John 1:14 through 16 says, "And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace.'" Amen. He didn't come with patented, canned answers to the evil of the world and why we all experience the wiles of the world and the temptations that we face. God did not come to this world with just that, but He entered into it. Suffering and injustice, He entered into it. Loss, He entered into it. Betrayal, and He offered Himself as the answer. Forgiveness, healing, restoration. I'm going somewhere here tonight. Stay with me, church. But this is the grace that we receive today. This is the grace that was brought to us, church. And may we never lose the awe of God in that. May we never lose the awe of God in His grace. Amen. It's a simple message that I bring tonight. But might we never come to the point where we walk through the doors of the church and where we wake up in the morning and we see the sun is shining or maybe the rain is falling, and I know that can get kind of old sometimes too, but may we never get to the point where we forget the goodness of God. Amen. I'll give you a key example. The thief on the cross in Luke 23, a man facing the consequences of evil, his own and society's as well. Yet His final moments, Jesus extends grace. He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." No debate, no big ordeal, no big argument, no theological big words and all of that. Just today you will be with me in paradise. Just deliverance. Just deliverance. And my favorite word, one of my favorite words of that sentence there is today. 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 Amen. Amen. Because today is what matters. Amen. There's a couple. Actually, it was the Herods. The Herods, the regional directors of Europe, told my wife in a time that we were both struggling that God's grace is sufficient for today. When we worry about tomorrow, when we're stuck in the past, God's blood has already wiped away the past. Amen. And when we worry about tomorrow, God's grace hasn't met us there yet. His grace is sufficient for today. His grace is sufficient for this moment. So there's not a need to worry about tomorrow. There's no need to worry about what's coming next. There's no need to worry about whether I'm going to be prepared and whether I'm going to be able to pay the bills on time or what I'm going to be able to do about my illness and what the doctors are going to say at the appointment next week or what's going to happen in my family or, God, what's going to happen with my unsaved family members, Lord? God's grace is sufficient for today. Amen. And he told the man on the cross, he said, oh, but today. You've experienced a lot of life before today. You've made a lot of mistakes before today. And maybe the world did you wrong a few times, but today you'll be with me in paradise. There's a problem, though, with evil. We may not fully explain why God allows suffering. Free will plays a role, yeah, but it's incomplete when rights are stripped away violently, like what this man described to me in the story. But grace doesn't demand full answers first. Grace doesn't demand that you have everything figured out first. It offers relationship and redemption now. Amen. We may not always have the answers in situations like this. And maybe I'll have something just, I mean, man, we always think, oh, I've been through it before. I've been through struggle before, and I've been through hard times before. But we got to be careful about saying that sometimes, because then it comes knocking on our door, and hey, it's a lot bigger than it was the last time, amen. And then we're thinking, oh, well, we're really in it now, and now this is it. But in the moment, we're blinded by it. In the moment, we're blinded by what the world gives us, by the temptation that comes our way. But grace is different. Grace is different. It steps in. It knocks on the door, amen? The scripture talks about us knocking on the door. Meanwhile, God's grace is just there. Hey, will you let me in? Will you let me in? And this is where I get to the missionary message. This is where I get to the missionary part of the message. And that's simply that we are called to extend that grace as ambassadors for Christ. We are called to extend that same grace to those who are around us. Amen. I'm so glad that you guys are putting together something for Easter, if that's what that was. Easter at PCC. Amen. There are people out there, you may not even, I don't know, you may not even know who it is. Maybe you'll go up to a door, maybe it shouldn't have a no soliciting sign on it, but maybe you'll go up to a door, and maybe you won't, and you'll just take a chance, you'll throw it on there. But you never know the amount of grace that somebody needs. You never know what they're going through, just like I had no idea what this man was about to empty out. I had no idea what was about to happen in it. People live in beautiful homes. People live in gorgeous places. They seem like they have it all put together. They wear the right clothes. They got the right shoes on. They got the watch. They got the tie. They got the right purse and the right car. And their family seems like it's all put together. But you have no idea what they've been through. Amen. If you would look at me and wonder, man, I wonder what he's been through. Maybe, you know, he seems a little young. Maybe he hasn't been through so much. Man, I could tell you, God just peeled me off of the middle of the street, man, and just saved my life and just saved my mind. You know, maybe I wasn't in a drug house, and maybe I wasn't on all kinds of drugs and on psychotics, and maybe I wasn't going through all of that. But I can tell you that I was losing it. I can tell you that I had a lot of what we'd call just stories or narratives that were playing out in my life. You know, we tend to have those. We have narratives that start in our lives, and They're those stories that we tell ourselves. That we, you know, we say, well, I'm not really that good enough because of this thing that happened to me when I was young. I don't deserve that kind of love because of this thing that happened to me when I was a child. Or I have a right to be angry because of some things that cause bitterness to come into my life. Amen. We never know what somebody's going through. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21 says, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself. But then it doesn't stop there. It says, and gave us the ministry, the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. The righteousness of God. That's why the scripture calls us the royal priesthood. Amen. That's how God views you and I. When we come into the fold and when I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, when I repented of my sins, when I was baptized for the washing away of those sins, God said, you are now made royal in my priesthood. We took upon righteousness. Amen. And it was nothing that we did. But the scripture says we are saved by grace through faith. Amen. Not that we might be able to boast in ourselves. In the story of the refugee, the man's question exposed deep wounds. A theological defense felt completely inadequate in that moment because what he needed wasn't justification of God's ways, but a taste of God's heart. Grace that says, I see your pain, and Jesus comes to restore what was stolen. Amen. Some practical ways to extend grace that I thought of and I tried to come up my mind and pray about some ways to extend grace. Listen first. Sounds like a no-brainer, but in a moment like that, when he's coming at me with aggression and when he's covering his hurt with aggression and when he's covering everything that he's been through with frustration and bitterness at God, listen first. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We validate pain without defensiveness. Secondly, offer presence over platitudes just by being with somebody, just by being there and letting them know. Just often sometimes when people know that you're a Christian, they want to be around you. There's just something magnetic about that. There's something powerful about knowing that the person that you're sitting next to at work is a praying person, because you can always reach out to them and say, hey, could you just pray for me? Could you just pray for me? They enjoy being next to you. They enjoy being around you. Thirdly, point to Christ's deliverance. This can be hard sometimes. Because in the heat of discussion, the heat of talk, sometimes it seems a little bit embarrassing, like they might just shoot it down, and that's just crazy. I don't believe in that God stuff. That's not it. But it's important that we point to the cross, that we point to Christ's deliverance, forgiveness of sins, healing of wounds, hope of justice and renewal, all from Isaiah 61, the good news to the poor, the binding, the brokenhearted, and freedom for captives. Amen. That fit the context of this man perfectly. And in refuge/mission contexts, grace Grace looks practical. Grace is just, it's doing the work. Food, shelter, friendship, all alongside those spiritual invitations. Yes, church invitations, sure. But showing God's common grace while offering saving grace. Amen. Amen. And when we fail, because, oh man, boy, do we fail. Do I fail? Grace covers us too. Grace covers us too. And if this message is for nothing else, I want you to know today that grace is here to cover you tonight. Amen. It fuels future faithfulness. Your regret isn't the end. It's part of a story, just like my regret was not the end. My regret was not the end for that man. And I pray for that man still, even to this day. I pray, God, I hope he finds your grace. God, I hope that he's entered into a place of grace so that you can restore everything that was taken from him. Amen. Peter denied Christ 3 times, yet became a bold extender of grace. Acts 2-3, Peter was at the forefront of what God brought into the New Testament church, the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul persecuted the church, yet became its apostle of grace. Amen. Our call is to encourage others. Our call is to encourage church members. Our call is to encourage those that we work with. Our call is to encourage those that we go to school with, that we live next to. To see everyday encounters as an opportunity to embody grace. And in France, France is a very secularist country. They very much believe in the separation of church and state. And they, you know, it sounds basic, yes, church and state, but it's part of their constitution. It's part of their belief system. It's part of their whole motto, egalite, liberté, and secularism. The goal is to meet pain with presence. The goal is to meet pain with the grace of God. So, you may stand with me tonight. Once again, thank you so much for listening to my wife and I. Appreciate it. We appreciate your time very much. I'm believing for incredible things to be done in France. I mean, I'm believing for a holy visitation to sweep across the world. I'm believing for that. And I always tell people to pray big impossible prayers. Pray big impossible prayers. Amen. If it doesn't seem like it's logical, great. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. But I believe that this visitation is going to sweep across Europe, sweep across France, and I don't want for them to miss it. I don't want for a single person in France to miss it. I don't want to miss it either. I don't want to miss what's coming. Amen. I don't want you, church, to miss what's coming. I don't want you to miss this opportunity for revival. Amen. We're already in it. It's already happening. It's already occurring. Amen. The fact that this is a growing church is part of that. Amen. I'm thankful to be in a church that's talking about next steps. I'm thankful to be in a church that's talking about growth and talking about the future and talking about a building project that's happening in the fall. And I'm thankful for that because that tells me that the church as a whole is moving forward. And it's all from the fuel of knowing that we received grace once. We received the grace of God once. And it was probably in our worst spot ever. It probably came when we were at our worst, amen? And that's what's funny about grace, man. Grace is oftentimes, or I would say what should oftentimes bring us to conviction. Amen. Amen. Because it's powerful. It's powerful. So I wonder if we could pray for a couple of things. If you're in need of grace tonight, if you're in need of the Holy Ghost, if you're in need of a refilling of the Holy Ghost, I wonder if you'd come forward. I don't know how you guys do things on Wednesday nights, but I wonder if you'd come forward and receive the grace of God that's here waiting. Amen. It's waiting for you. When you go home tonight, it'll be waiting for you. Amen. But I wonder if you could come forward and receive the grace of God tonight. Amen. And the second thing I want us to pray for is a fresh commitment. That we're going to be agents of grace. That we're not going to go home. We're not going to live in the status quo. We're not going to live in what's the norm. And I'm going to go to church twice a week, and I'm going to be involved in the ministries that I'm involved in, and then I'm going to go home and go to sleep. But man, I pray that this be the kind of thing that keeps us up at night. That others out there need grace. That others out there are waiting for grace. They have no idea that this kind of grace is waiting for them. They have no idea that this kind of grace is an option for them. Amen. So if you're willing to take upon that commitment, I wonder if you just say, God, send me. Send me, Lord. Your work is a mission field. Your school is a mission field. Your neighbor is a mission field. The gas station that you go into is a mission field. Jesus, God, let your grace come and visit us today. God, let your grace come and visit us today. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus, come and shower your grace upon us, O Lord. Let us experience a fresh touch of grace again, O Lord. So maybe we'll have something that will fuel us to deliver grace again. Come on, agents of grace. Come on, church of grace. Come on, people of grace. He's the source of it. God, you are my source of grace, Lord. And I worship you for that tonight. I worship you, O God, because you are the source of grace. I praise you because you are the source of grace. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let us touch you.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And Lord, we'll see how great is our God. And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, and all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. And how good
how great.
and time is in His hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, He is one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great.
Is our God.
our God. Oh, yes, name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And then my heart will sing how great is our God. Oh yes, He's a name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. Then my heart will sing how great is our God. Oh yes, name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great our God.
Just keep singing that chorus.
Oh, how great and how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Amen. What a wonderful reminder of our responsibility to bring grace to other people. I read a story today. I'll close with this. A man in Pennsylvania met a 13-year-old girl online. Somewhere along the line, he picked her up, took her to California, drove all the way across the country. Her mom had suspected something. She called the police. He took her to a hotel. He was from some online group that's probably more of a sadistic group, where he convinced her to send him pictures of her cutting herself and harming herself. Then when he got her to the hotel, he did things that were just unimaginable. And one of those things was he would film her cutting herself to the bone and encourage her to do it. Now, somewhere along the line, someone is going to meet that girl. And they're going to say, she's a crazy wacko. That girl's nuts. Avoid her. But in actuality, she needs somebody to bring this message of grace to her life. And so, thank you for the reminder of how important it is and how much it is our responsibility to bring grace to people. Amen. Amen. I want to pray as we close. Remember, they have a table in the front. And then we have some refreshments over in the fellowship hall. If you have children, I don't know what Sister Hannah has prepared, but please don't let your kids take 19 snacks and desserts when there are people behind them, one or two, and then whatever else she has. But let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness, for your grace and your goodness that I have been so privileged, Lord, to receive. Help us to take this, God, to heart, Lord, and to do everything that we can to bring this message of grace to our world and to our community. Stop, God, somewhere there's a woman at the well, and she needs to meet an ambassador that's bound by Christ. And I pray that you will help us to cross those paths on a daily basis. We give you honor and praise and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.